Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast. Great to have you with us on the program today. The Sacramento Book Review says the Holy Trinity, 3-in-1, unveiling God's presence in the Bible from Tommy C. C. Sr., is a thorough and, for certain Christians who are ready for intense Bible study in this tradition, the book may offer new insights into familiar stories. The Holy Trinity, 3-in-1, combines all three previous versions of this book into one, including volumes 1, 2, and 3 of The Enigma of the Holy Trinity. In this methodically written work, the students of the Word are carefully and systematically guided step by step through the Bible. Tommy C. C. Sr., that's S-E-A-Y Sr., is an ordained pastor, evangelist, and teacher, a graduate of the 2007 class of World Harvest Bible College, under the leadership of its founder and dean, Elder Rod Parsley, senior pastor of World Harvest Church in Columbus, Ohio. Pastor C. is founder and pastor of Unveiling Ministries and senior teacher for The Word Without Religion, an advanced biblical studies workshop in Buffalo. The author of A Purposeful Life in Dual Dimensions, Unveiling the Mystery of the Death, Burial, and Resurrection of Jesus Christ, an informative teacher, inspiring preacher, author of The Holy Trinity, 3-in-1, Unveiling God's Presence in the Bible, Tommy C. Sr. with us on This Week in America. Pastor, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us today.
Well, God bless you. So wonderful to be here, and thank you so much for having me on your show, Rick.
It is our pleasure, and so much to talk about during the course of the program, and the time will go by too quickly. So many interesting things we need to touch on. And let's start with the title of the book, The Holy Trinity, 3-in-1, Unveiling God's Presence in the Bible. What was your inspiration for writing this book?
Well, Rick, this book was the result of a Bible study discussion that I went to. I was given an invitation, and the subject selection for scripture-wise was coming from Genesis, the 16th chapter, verses 7 through 12. And it talks about the angel of the Lord confronting Hagar, Sarah's maid, there in the wilderness. And I sat there and I listened to the various comments and remarks and opinions, and I became astonished at what I was hearing. And I just sat quietly until they finally asked me if I had any input. And I just said, well, at the end of the day, I'm looking at verse 13. It seems like we should have went just one more verse further, and we would have learned the identity of this person called the angel of the Lord. We were taught that the word angel means messenger. The Hebrew word is malak. The Greek word is angelos. This, of course, does not imply that all angels are messengers, because the Bible would eagerly challenge and successfully win the battle that all angels are not messengers. But in this case, in Genesis, the 16th chapter, where the Bible study was, the Bible reveals that the angel there is much more than a messenger. He is called the angel of the Lord, and he displays some extraordinary qualities that are identical to God's. And that's what caught my attention. And this book came out of that Bible study. In fact, I released the first version of this book 10 years after that Bible study, and it came out in 2006. That was Unveiling God's Presence in the Bible. I revised and updated the book in 2013 and called it Unveiling God's Presence in the Bible, Acts of the Holy Trinity. And then in 2016, the Lord gave me more information, and I updated the book to the current version right now, which is The Enigma of the Holy Trinity, Unveiling God's Presence in the Bible. But since then, I have more information, and I'm updating it once again. Hopefully it's the last, but as long as the information continues to come, I'm going to continue to incorporate it in the book. And this volume that's coming out now is called The Holy Trinity, 3-in-1. If I can just mention some of the qualities of the angel of the Lord just to help
the listening audience understand
what happened in that Bible study. The class was under the impression that this was an angel that God created that he sent to give this message to Hagar. But when we look at verse 7, which is where the lesson came from, it says that the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. It's not telling us that the angel of the Lord was looking for us. Moses, being the writer, was simply telling us Hagar's geographical location at the time the angel of the Lord confronted her. And this is the first time that the word angel is actually mentioned in the Bible, in Genesis 16, verse 7. In verse 8, the angel of the Lord reveals that he has authority to question one in authority. Hagar, and that what I'm saying, the angel of the Lord with authority, having the authority to question one in authority, is that when God created man, he gave man something that he never gave the angels he created. He gave man dominion and a kingdom to govern. And whatever moves in the realm of the earth, man was to exercise dominion over that. And even though Adam, by his rebellion against divine authority, which is when he ate of the tree of life, of the tree of good and knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he transferred that dominion over to Satan. But even though he lost dominion, God never subjected man to any authority that the aim of the angels he created might have. So I'm looking at this here, and I was just fascinated to see that the angel of the Lord has the authority to question one in authority. He said to Hagar, he said, "Where are you coming from, and where are you going?" He was doing that to just simply invoke a confession from her, which I found very interesting as well. But the class had a different opinion, so I just sat quietly, but I pondered those things in my heart. In verse 9, the angel of the Lord, we see he has the ability to command one in authority. He told Hagar to return to your mistress and submit under her hand. In verse 10, we learn that the angel of the Lord has the power of blessings. He said that I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. He didn't say that God was going to do it, as if speaking of a second party. He said that I personally am going to multiply your seed, and no one is going to be able to count it. In verse 11, the angel of the Lord revealed that he's omniscient. He has authority to change names and to even give a name. When I received my name, it was my parents that gave me my name because they have authority to do it. Same with you, Rick. And in this case, the angel of the Lord told Hagar, you are with child. Granted, she may have been showing. She may have been, you know, we don't know how many months pregnant she was at this time. So even if she was showing that she was pregnant, the angel of the Lord knew that she was going to have a son, or he determined that the child would be a son. So it shows that he's omniscient. He said that thou art with child, thou shalt bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael. And so when we look at verse 12, again, the angel of the Lord displays his omniscience, and he reveals that he has the authority to set the boundaries of one's dwelling. He told Hagar that your son, he told Hagar about her son's life story. He said that he's going to be a wild man. His hand is going to be against every man, and every man's hand is going to be against him, and he is going to dwell in the presence of all of his brethren. So he knew the future of her son, as unpleasant as it sound.
Yes.
He also set the boundaries and said he is going to be confined in a geographical location, and he is going to dwell among people that's just like him.
It's a fascinating book. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Yes, it just fascinating. And the book is the Holy Trinity, 3-in-1, Unveiling God's Presence in the Bible, the Enigma of the Holy Trinity. Pastor Say is with us on the program, the author. That's Tommy C, the letter C, and Say Senior. And Say is spelled S-E-A-Y, Senior. His website is Tommy C, again, the letter C, Say, S-E-A-Y.com. Talk about the new book he's working on and all the information on all the books that he's written. It's an excellent website. We'll show you that website throughout the program. You can link onto it directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You know, the majority of Christian denominations accept the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. However, there are some denominations that do not. What do you think is the reason for the disagreement?
Well, I believe the reason, Rick, for the disagreement is the result of where the believer receives his or her spiritual instruction.
Okay.
Some believers, they cleave more to the teachings of the seminary school professors, local pastors, Sunday school teachers, or internet ministries, which teachings in some cases have no scripture foundation. That is why every believer must first be taught by the primary teacher Jesus designated to believers, and that teacher is the Holy Spirit. A believer's greatest need is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. But without the Holy Spirit, it is equally the believer's greatest lack. The Holy Spirit would never rebel against what God says. Jesus stated that the Holy Spirit is the primary teacher for believers, and John, the Apostle John, records that fact in both his gospel account as well as his epistle. He said in John 14 and 26 that the Holy Ghost, which the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost whom the Father will send, he shall teach you all things. He confirms that the Holy Spirit is the one who guides believers into all truth, John 16:13. In his epistle, John said, but the anointing which ye have received abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as he hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. That's 1 John 2:27. And so I believe that the reason for the disagreement is the result of where the believer is receiving his or her spiritual instruction. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:33, he said, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So when we talk about the Holy Trinity, though, Rick, that word Trinity is not found anywhere in the Bible. However, the Word of God does reveal and teach that God is a triune being. The word Trinity comes from the word trio, triunity. It means threesome or three in oneness. And in the Bible, the biblical term or word used to identify the Holy Trinity is the word Godhead. The Greek word is theos, God-like, divine, Godhead. Three is God's signature. It means that God is in it. Interestingly, the Bible records Godhead precisely three times, and that's found in Acts 17:29, Romans 1st chapter, verse 20, and Colossians 2 and 9. Interesting.
Yes. When you say Holy Trinity, are we talking about three separate gods?
No, by no means. The first commandment God gave to Israel is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, Deuteronomy 6 and 4. The answer to the question, as I stated, is no. God does not consist of three separate gods. He is one person who functions as three. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, he revealed to the apostles the structure of the divine governing body, saying, Go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In 1 John 5 and 7, the Bible says, For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And so the Holy Trinity does not consist of three separate gods. Based on 1 John 5 and 7, the Lord may be thought of in this way. God is one person who displays three distinct personalities, and he functions in those identities. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or Spirit, possess the same essence, bear the same bear the same authority and also have the same abilities. And so one might understand the concept by thinking of a person who has multiple personalities. He or she is one person. However, the person displays multiple personalities working within him or her in a similar but positive way. God is one person whom we see functioning as three individuals known as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so when we look at Genesis, the first chapter, verse 1, Rick, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That word God, the Hebrew word is Elohim, and is specifically used in the plural sense of the supreme God. And throughout the Bible, God refers to himself as both singular and also plural. So when God decided to create man, he says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So the question is, who was he talking to when he said us? He wasn't talking to the angels he created, because they don't have creative power, and they did not co-create with God when he created man. We see this example again over in Genesis, the third chapter, after Adam and Eve rebelled against God by eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. After they ate, the Bible says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us. And so God is referring to someone when he said us. Who is he talking to? He's talking to his triune self. We see it again over in Genesis, the eighth chapter, when at the Tower of Babel, when he came down to confound or confuse the language of the people. He said, let us go down there and confound their language. So we see this repeatedly throughout the Bible, how God refers to himself as an individual, but at the same time, he refers to himself as more than one person.
You're listening to This Week in America. Our guest in the program is Pastor Tommy C. Say, C. Senior. That's S-E-A-Y Senior. And his website is very simple, TommyCCSEAY.com. The book we're talking about today is The Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, 3-in-1, Unveiling God's Presence in the Bible, The Enigma of the Holy Trinity. As you can tell, it's a very important book, and time is going by way too quickly. Pastor, I'd like to ask you, in the book, there are two points that you make, the misunderstanding regarding the reason why God created angels, and then the second part of that would be, why did God create angels?
Well, God created the angels for one purpose, and the purpose was for praise and worship. God desires to be praised and worshiped, and not only that, but he's also worthy of the praise and worship. Some people believe that God created the angels to care for man. Well, why would that be necessary when man have dominion over everything that would enter the earth? In fact, man's dominion was so absolute that if he ever loses dominion, only a man would be able to get it back. And so the way to authority is that one must be able to come through the matrix. Now, some people believe that was just a movie, but no, the Bible has 5 references of that word matrix, and it simply means the womb. If it cannot pass through the womb, it has no ordained authority. So that tells us that the angels God created doesn't have authority in the earth to exercise over human beings. If the angels God created has any authority, they can only exercise that authority over other spirits in the spirit realm, but not over man in his own kingdom. And so God did not create the angels to care for man, neither to make conditions better in the earth. Adam and Eve was so powerful, so extraordinary, that they were able to outrun the fastest land animal. Talking about the cheetah, if they could not outrun the cheetah, they would not be exercising authority. If they wanted to get the attention of a bird flying in the sky, the rapel's vulture can fly at an altitude of 37,000 feet. If Adam and Eve wanted to get the attention of that bird, to summon that bird, they would not tell the bird to come down. They would simply go up to the bird. You see,
yes.
Jesus in the Gospels, he also showed us the dominion that Adam and Eve had in the day they were created. When he walked on the water, he showed the dominion over the sea. Well, prior to that, he was in a high mountain. He saw the disciples wrestling against a violent storm out on the Sea of Galilee. He came unto them in the fourth watch of the night, walking on the water. How did he come out of that mountain so fast? Did he walk down that mountain just simply to walk on the water? No, the Bible suggests that he absolutely flew out of that mountain. But that is something that the Holy Spirit will have to turn on the light in our minds to see how fearfully and wonderfully God has created us. And so the primary reason why God created the angels was simply for praise and worship. But after the fall, however, conditions in man's kingdom changed, and the powers of darkness was fighting against man. So what God did was he commissioned the angels now to engage into spiritual warfare against demonic forces that are out in the atmosphere that threatens the people of God. However, God doesn't want his people to focus on that energy around us. He wants us to focus on the energy that's within inside of us, and that energy is his own personal presence in the person of the Holy Spirit, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and the Holy Spirit is the greatest source of energy that man can ever know, possess, or utilize.
It's why this is such an important book, the book we're discussing, The Holy Trinity, 3-in-1, Unveiling God's Presence in the Bible, The Enigma of the Holy Trinity. The author is our guest on the program, Tommy C. Senior. The book is available wherever books are sold, of course, and you'll get information at his website, and I'll give you Pastor's website here in a second. Helping you get the message out there, I know, has been Reader's Magnet. Talk a little bit about that experience with them and helping you take this message and get it out to people where it's going to be very instrumental in their lives.
Well, Rick, thank you for the opportunity to even say something concerning Reader's Magnet. I received a call from Frank Jonas, and immediately we connected. This book is already on the market in the form of The Enigma of the Holy Trinity, and Frank was telling me that the book caught his eye. Being that it's on Ex Libris right now, the book is not doing as well as I hoped it would be by now. At any rate, I believe that God, he's always working in the background and working things out for our good. And in this case, Frank called and we had a discussion, and we were on the phone probably for 2 hours. And finally, I decided to try Reader's Magnet. I said, hey, what do I have to lose here? And come to find out that it's one of the best choices that I've made concerning this work. The staff there is extraordinary. They're very helpful. They return your calls promptly, very considerate, very patient. So I've only been dealing with Reader's Magnet for a few weeks, but my experience with them is second to none. I give them high praise for the work they have done up until this point.
Well, I thank you for sharing that and for being with us to talk about the book, The Holy Trinity, 3-in-1, Unveiling God's Presence in the Bible, The Enigma of the Holy Trinity. The author is Tommy Say Sr., that's S-E-A-Y. His website is Tommy, the initial C, then C-S-E-A-Y.com. Link on directly to the pastor's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The time has gone by way too quickly. Hopefully we have a chance to pick up this conversation at some point. Sir, thank you so much for being with us on the program. It's been a true pleasure. Thank you.
And I really appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
It has been our pleasure. And the book, once again, The Holy Trinity, 3-in-1, Unveiling God's Presence in the Bible, The Enigma of the Holy Trinity. Pastor Tommy Say, C. Senior is the author and our guest in the program. That's S-E-A-Y. And, of course, you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.